Okay, back on the Young Turks, Jang and Anna with you guys. As usual, let's do some hashtag TYT live tweets. Lots about Sean Hannity and Ted Koppel. David says, Jang's implication is Sean Hannity uses facts, he doesn't. No, David, that's not my implication. My implication is that Sean Hannity is allowed to have his opinion, and I wouldn't ban him from the air. But I said specifically in that video, I think I did, I hope I did, that the problem with Fox News is that they lie about being fair and balanced, and maybe I didn't emphasize it enough, but they often lie during the actual broadcasts. Mm-hmm. And so that's a giant problem. And if Ted Koppel was focusing on that, then I would agree with him. But I don't think that's what his focus was. Jacob YB says something similar here, focusing on what I was just talking about. He says there are also more than two types of opinion, opinion based off of fact and opinion based off of lies. So also a very fair point. Finally, on this topic, the real Ken Jones says, I heard Koppel the way JR is suggesting. That said, Jang's 100% right on the point he's making about the mainstream media. Okay. One last one, because there's a ton of tweets on this. Isabel Letourneau said, the important thing is for a news show to make a difference between facts and opinions very clear for the audience.
Yes.
And God knows we try to do that very, very clearly here. Okay. We, of course, have an opinion about strong journalism.
Yeah.
And that you guys are helping to fund. So let me read some names to thank you guys for that. $50 from Deborah in Connecticut. $50 from Mercedes in the US Virgin Islands. And $250 from Nednia in South Carolina. Thank you, Nednia. And we have a very interesting story from South Carolina in the rundown today.
Yes, we do.
Indeed. Okay, let's get to it.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it. United Airlines is getting a little heat today after they decided to kick two young girls off a flight unless they decided to change the outfits they were wearing so they could follow with the strict dress code they have for certain airline customers. Okay, so keep in mind these two girls are minors, they're underage, one of them is as young as 10. But the incident took place at the Denver International Airport and was reported by Shannon Watts, the founder of the gun safety group Moms Demand Action. Watts said she saw two girls stopped from boarding a flight to Minneapolis by a gate agent. So here's what she tweeted. She, meaning the agent, she's forcing them to change or put dresses on over leggings or they can't board. Since when does United police women's clothing? Well, United actually responded to her and said the following. The passengers this morning were United pass riders who were not in compliance with our dress code policy for company benefit travel. So there is a dress code for past travelers as they are representing United Airlines when they fly. Casual attire is allowed as long as it looks neat and is in good taste for the local environment. By the way, their dress code doesn't really specify that leggings aren't allowed. It only says that they can reject people who are either barefoot or not properly clothed. But what does properly clothed mean? A lot of people wear leggings, and again, these are kids wearing leggings, which is a very common article of clothing that a lot of people wear.
So in the beginning, I was actually tempted to go with their excuse, and I found it a little understandable. Now, you know I don't have a great history with some airlines, so I'm also tempted to be on the side of the people who are being kicked out. Now, why did I think that United's excuse was interesting? It's certainly worth considering. It's because they're saying, look, this is not for regular passengers. These are people who are members of our crew, usually, and their family. And we want them to represent United well, so we don't want coming in disheveled and looking like bums representing us that way on the airlines. I'm like, well, look, there's a fair point in there. But wait, then you find out the details and lose all sympathy. Because it turns out the thing that really, for me, was decisive was the dad in the same family, in this same flight right here, was wearing shorts.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute, I see almost all of his legs. For the girls, I barely see their legs, and they're 10 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is all crazy. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with someone wearing shorts. It's not like members or people on that flight are gonna be like, oh my God, that's a United employee, and look at how his daughters are dressed. No, most people board a flight looking like they just woke up, right? And they're not going to know what the employment status is of this particular individual or the fact that his kids are the children of a United Airlines employee. No one cares. The only thing people care about on flights is whether or not people are lugging in luggage that shouldn't be on the flight because it takes up way too much overhead space, or if someone's sick and coughing all over you. These are the only concerns people have when they're boarding a flight, okay?
I don't know about that.
Yes. And so I just hate all of this. I hate every part of it. I think it's ridiculous. Like, if let's say a woman shows up wearing nothing but a fishnet leotard and you can see all her kibbles and bits, well, okay, then maybe you have a little bit of a problem. But in this case, yeah, okay. In this case, you have two minors wearing completely acceptable clothing, and United Airlines decided to not only be insanely rude in this situation, but also defiant because they refuse to apologize and they continuously mention their stupid, nonsensical dress code.
Okay, Patricia Arquette had the best tweet about this. I know, how random, but okay. She says, leggings are business attire for 10-year-olds. Their business is being children.
Exactly.
No, that's case closed. Sorry. She wins, United loses. That's such a great point, but I'm going to go further nonetheless. Watts, the person who originally reported this in, and by the way, the fact that she's for part of that gun control group has nothing to do with this story. Just randomly, it happened to be that person who's in the public eye for other reasons. Okay, anyway, she says it sexualizes the young girls and is sexist. And so, again, I was a little reluctant on the sexist point until I realized, well, no, but the guy's getting to show more legs, so why are you picking on the girl for having the leggings on? So the sexist point is much better than I originally realized. And the sexualizing the young 10-year-old girls is definitely true. There's no reason why you should be looking at their legs and trying to figure out if it's too much or too little. I mean, at what point, I mean, what if they're babies? Are you going to look to see, or they're really young kids, 2 years old? Mm-hmm. Oh, they came in shorts. No, we're going to have to cover that up. I mean, this is madness. This is totally nuts. Now, then the gate agent does the excuse that I can't stand. It's my number one pet peeve. She said, quote, she doesn't make the rules. She just follows them.
Yeah.
But that's actually, again, as usual, as is almost the case in every one of these situations, not true. What the rules say is she has discretion.
Exactly.
In fact, when they go back to United, United says, it wasn't me. The gate agent has complete discretion. So they just keep going around. It wasn't me, it was United. It wasn't me, it was the gate agent, right? No, one, you made a bad rule that's way too loose and is applied in all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. And the gate agent, you could have done anything you wanted. You picked on them for no reason because for whatever reason that got under your skin.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, I get it. People who are employed by these companies have stressful jobs. It's stressful to be a flight attendant. It's stressful to be an agent. People are in bad moods sometimes when they travel, and maybe they're making things complicated or difficult for you that given day. But if you don't like it, then don't work for an airline company, okay? If you hate it and you don't want to deal with customers and you decide that you're going to be a dick to 10-year-olds, don't work for an airline company. Go do something else with your time. Jeez.
I am going to double down on jeez. Let him go. Let him go. Get him on the plane.
He's so mad. Anyway.
Okay. Mad around airlines. I wouldn't know anything about that.
I just hate traveling. It's the worst thing in the world. Okay, let's move on. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in the news today because of a spontaneous action he took while talking about American Horror Story with some of his castmates. Now, apparently, he goes up on stage with Sarah Paulson and does this. So he went up to her and lifted her skirt without her expecting it. And there are some screenshots that we'll show you just to give you more of a sense of, you know, how much leg he exposed or whatever. But this was not staged. She didn't plan it. She didn't expect it. You could tell that she was uncomfortable by it. She kind of laughed it off. But people who saw this did not laugh it off. They were actually really offended that he would do that. And so I'll read you a few of the tweets, but what do you think, Jake, now that you've seen the video?
Okay, yeah, so that was definitely not staged. You can tell when she was like, well, sick your lawn and put the skirt back down, right? That was not friendly banter, like,
yeah.
Right? this was fairly easy, right? Don't do that. That's really weird and creepy. Slash borderline sexual assault. Okay, now I don't know, people can say that's too far, and now it's, but she's the one who gets to decide what it is and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. And so I would be surprised if she was going to press charges. I would be very surprised. And I have no idea how friendly they are. Maybe they're super good friends. Mm-hmm. And he shouldn't have done that publicly. But in private, they might be like, no big deal. And if they're friends, that's their call, not our call, right?
Right.
But in public, that's a pretty bad idea.
That's a terrible idea in public, right? And you're right, it's up to her to decide whether or not she was offended by it. But I can say from looking at that video, seeing how it went down, and kind of putting myself in her shoes, I think I would react a little differently. I mean, not on stage, I wouldn't like punch him in the face or anything like that, but he would have a stern talking to afterwards. Because it's just, it's more than anything, it's incredibly disrespectful. To lift someone's skirt up like that? What are you doing? Why did you think that that was a good idea? And what's the context? Like, maybe there's something that we're missing. Maybe there's some sort of context to this story that no one really knows about yet. But I can't imagine a scenario where that's acceptable behavior. You don't lift someone's dress. I wouldn't like go up to a guy and pull his pants down, right?
Well, all that would do is expose my rock hard ass, but you really shouldn't. Okay, so now, it's live here. Cuba Gooden Jr. has not said anything about it, and we, the show hasn't reacted. Sarah Paulson hasn't reacted publicly. Mm-hmm. So all we know is that people are outraged by it. And yeah. I mean, it's not a close call. Now, in terms of what you want to do about it, well, the sky's the limit for the different options. I'm not saying that has to be a federal case, and again, that's up to Sarah Paulson. But in terms of whether it was the right thing to do, oh, he's just being playful. No, you don't. It is obvious he didn't have permission to do that. It's obviously not right to do that to a and then, guys, let's also get to the other obvious thing here. That's super weird.
It's weird, yeah. That's exactly right. It's such a strange thing. Like, I can't imagine. Like, can you imagine if we were on a panel or something? We go up on stage, you lifted my skirt. I'd be like, what are you doing?
We barely hug, let alone lifting up your skirt. That's like so weird and creepy. And I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's wrong with him, but if it's a thing he does regularly, he should seek help.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some other news. Glenn Beck has officially permanently banned Tommy Lauren from The Blaze. Now, for those of you who haven't been paying attention to this whole drama, controversy began when Tommy Lauren went on The View and said this.
No, I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I am a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I am someone that's for limited government, and so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think that the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can stay out of my body as well. So I think it's...
You need to go out and speak to women about that.
I do. I do every day. I do every day. Okay. And, you know, I get a lot of attacks conservative women as well. Yeah. You know, I think it's equal hate from all sides.
Well, that turned out to be true.
Yeah. Now, before we get to everything that transpired after that, I do want to remind the audience that she does say one thing on one platform and another thing on another platform. On The Blaze, she seemed to appear to be very anti-choice. Okay, so take a look at this.
Think about it. The pro-choicers are supposed to be about rare and safe abortions. That's how they avoid sounding like straight-up baby killers, by acknowledging abortion is not a positive thing and a difficult choice. Then we have Lena freaking Dunham out there wishing she could have murdered a fetus, wishing for the option to kill your child. Doesn't exactly say much about the cause, her character, or the pro-choice movement.
Okay, so she basically compares having an abortion to killing babies in that clip. So she's kind of all over the place when it comes to that issue. And I think that goes to the point that I've been making about people like Tommy Lauren. She doesn't really believe anything, right? She doesn't believe a lot of the things that she says. She says things for shock value. That's how she earns a paycheck. And so will she, you know, transform into a certain mold that fits one platform versus another? Absolutely. That's what we just saw right now. But I do think there are some ramifications of her getting fired or rejected by conservatives because she made sense once in her lifetime when she was on The View.
Yeah, so when she said in The View, oh, I talk about it every day,
Mike, no, you don't.
I don't remember seeing you talking about how you're pro-choice every day. That seems a bit of an exaggeration. And then, of course, you find the clips where she compares pro-choice people to straight-up baby killers. So, and you could, don't worry though, you could avoid up looking like a straight-up baby killer as long as you're not as extreme as Lena Dunham in her being in her pro-choice position. So, no, she's ironically like a politician. Mm-hmm. What room am I in? Who am I trying to appeal to? Oh, I'm at the Blaze. Okay, yeah, black people are terrible. Baby killers for the pro-choice people. Blah. Oh, what's working on Facebook these days? Mm-hmm. Me being even crazier. Okay, then I think that the black groups that are fighting for civil rights are like the KKK. How's that for nuts? Ooh, that went viral. Right? Then she goes on The View and she's like, ooh, this is nice. I bet it pays even better. All of a sudden, I am pro-choice. Oh, every day I've been talking about pro-choice.
Yeah.
Look, have you?
And it's frustrating because it's inauthentic. And I think it shows you a clear difference between establishment media and new media. I think that she will have a very easy time finding another job in establishment media. Because all establishment media looks for is actors. They don't look for people who are principled or people who have actual genuine political beliefs and values. They look for people who are willing to read a script, who are willing to say what they want them to say. And that's it. That's all they want. So look, I think that she's going to be fine, right? She's going to get a job somewhere. It could be Fox News. It could be MSNBC. Who knows, right? At this point, it doesn't even matter. But
please hire her, MSNBC, and then we could be done with you for good.
Inconceivable that they wouldn't make an offer. But anyway, let's move on. But I do want to focus on another part of this that I think is important, right? So political ideology is very tribalistic at this point, right? And so you're not even allowed to stray in any way, shape, or form when you're in a political group, because the second you do, you get rejected. And I think that's problematic, right? You want progress. You want your political party to evolve and get with the times. And in this case, instead of, you know, kind of applauding her for making a little bit of sense when it comes to one issue and maybe convincing the right wing to evolve, you know, the right wing just rejected her and they're super close-minded. And I see similar behavior on the left as well. And I think that's a problem. I think that that's just going to further polarize us and it won't lead to any progress.
So a couple of notes on that. First, NBC News recently called me opportunistic for just appealing to a certain portion, left-wing portion of the audience. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because I remember after backing Obama as a candidate in 2008 when he did things that were the opposite of the progressive movement, I criticized them often and got punished by our audience. We lost a lot of subscribers and revenue because of that. I did it because it was the right thing to do. Then I remember being in favor of Bernie Sanders and pissing off a lot of our audience who were for Hillary Clinton. Then I remember supporting Hillary Clinton in the general election because she was running against Donald Trump and being called shillery for it. Mm-hmm. So I remember all those things, and we did them, and we have a wide range of opinion here, because we believe in having a wide range of opinion, and we believe that all of our hosts are actually individuals, and we all have different perspectives, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and we should share that with you. But many other people do not agree. They think, hey, I've got a niche here, and I'm going to serve this audience, and I'm going to be either super left and good, I don't care about any of the consequences, right? And by the way, if there's folks like that in our network, bless their hearts. Okay, that's their opinion, man, and we don't fire them for it, right? I welcome that. And then there are people who think, no, Hillary was awesome. What are you guys talking about? And then that's okay. God bless. But the right wing doesn't think that way.
Right.
And if you stray from orthodoxy even a little bit, you're a goner.
That's right.
Now, in this case, though, I'm so torn, because they're both so wrong, right? If Beck's firing her for having a pro-choice position, then he's an idiot, and that's totally wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if he's firing her because she's full of crap, it's hard not to sympathize with that.
Okay.
Because she really, really is.
So there's an insider at The Blaze who spoke to the media about Glenn's thinking about this issue. So let's go to graphic 13 and you'll get a sense of his real reason for why he decided to fire her permanently. Glenn is reminding the world of his conservative principles by sidelining Tommy after she insulted conservatives by calling them hypocrites. He just couldn't sit by and watch as Tommy Lauren said, there's no way for conservatives to justify anything other than being pro-choice. pro-choice. But again, Tommy was right in calling them hypocrites. You can't make arguments in favor of small government and individual liberty while you simultaneously tell women what they can and can't do with their bodies. Again, that was one of the few times, if the only time, that Tommy Lauren made any sense and was actually consistent in her thought process. She's very constitutional, as she said in that video.
So then Glenn Beck is guilty, because that state of reason, they're the ones telling the press that. They didn't have to say that. So that's them saying, yeah, we fired her for stepping outside the bounds of being conservative and insulting other conservatives.
Right.
We insult each other all the time. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Mm-hmm. So, but if you tweak conservatives a little bit, you gotta go, right?
It's almost like they're special little snowflakes.
Almost. And I like how they say, she's not fired, she's just permanently banned. What does that mean? And then one last quote from that unnamed source that talked to the New York Post. Explaining Beck's actions, he said, he's trying to balance being a leading conservative thinker and also someone who can unify the country.
Unify the country. Glenn
Beck. Who asked you to unify the country? So, God, he is so full of himself. There are no winners here, right?
No winners.
She's a giant hypocrite and constantly changes her positions to suit her advantage. Mm-hmm. And he's a total fraud in his gyroscope, who is a special little snowflake who can't be tweaked, but in his mind is like the one thinker on the right who can unify the country. Yeah, good luck with that, Glenn.
All right, let's take a break.
Go, we're gonna take a break when we come back. Republican in South Carolina finds empathy. You're gonna be shocked at what caused him to find empathy. and then, does the federal government know your face, and will you have to fix it when we return? All right, back on the Young Turks. Let's read some tweets real quick. Okay, no more donations. There's a lot of love for United. I'm surprised. No more donations says, the young girls were traveling with an airline corporate pass rider, so they're subject to corporate dress code. No controversy. Wow. Michelle Gallegos says, the dad had a paid ticket, so he doesn't have to follow the dress code, but it's still crazy that they stopped the girls. Interesting.
They're 10. Okay. 10 fucking years
You're
old.
You're allowed
what
to use discretion.
What is wrong with everyone?
You're supposed to use discretion. Let the 10-year-olds on. Okay. Anyway, Rogue Leader says, most people on a plane just want to get to wherever the hell they're going without being bothered. United really screwed the pooch here.
Yes, they screwed the fucking pooch.
Okay, the pooch. Come here, you son of a bitch. Okay, anyway. David Frost, Cuba Gooding Jr. had a few too many bad judgment calls and vodkas.
That could have been true. Yeah, he seemed. I've met him once.
Can we do that in the postgame?
Yeah, let's talk about it in
the postgame. Uh-oh. Anna has a Cuba Gooding Jr. story in the postgame. TYTnetwork.com/join. To hear that, it's a little bit controversial. Jay says, I want Tommy to take a job at Fox and shoot a doc called Meh as Hell. That's really funny. Jay, you got a t-shirt.
Yes, I was going to say.
Sorry, you got a t-shirt.
That was so good.
The rest of you, shop TYT.com for the shirts. Okay, I'm a Derpy Panda says, how can the party evolve, referring to the Republicans, when they do not believe in evolution?
Yeah,
damn, that's a good
point. But
great
still, like on social issues, you can get them to move a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like gay stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like they've moved a little bit.
And as we're going to see on drugs.
Drug stuff.
Again, when it affects them. Okay, they should talk to their drug man about that. Anyway, donors to the TYTnetwork.com/go, which I'll see one last time, guys. It's $3 from Andromeda in Kansas. Awesome name. $27 from Melvern in Georgia, and $500 from Dia in California. Thank you all. We super appreciate it. Okay, 1520375. Let's keep it going to 2 million, okay? I got to hire some new journalists. I hear there's one available.
Mm.
No, I'm just kidding. It was Tommy Lahren.
Oh, I'm like, what are you talking?
Could you imagine? We're like, thank you all of you guys for donating to progressive journalism. Oh, here's Tommy Lahren. Okay.
She will be willing to tell you what you want to hear.
That's true. All of a sudden, we can turn her into the biggest lib you've ever seen. Anyway, and member shout outs are George Hunt and Cliff Green. In the post game, we'll tell you the controversial Cuba Gooding Jr. story that Anna has because she actually ran into him.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right, forward.
All right. Marijuana has been legalized for either medicinal or recreational use in many states. However, when it comes to the South, you notice this happening a lot less often. So far, Arkansas and Florida have legalized marijuana for medicinal use and medicinal use only. In Louisiana, they've also legalized medicinal marijuana, but you can't smoke it. There's certain ways that you can use it. However, now there are states like South Carolina that are thinking about legalizing it for medicinal use. And of course, lawmakers in that state didn't realize the importance of legalizing it until it directly impacted them. Case in point, Representative Eric Bedingfield, who all of a sudden has decided, my son died of an opioid overdose, so maybe it's a good idea to legalize marijuana so people can wean themselves off the addiction or get prescribed marijuana for pain management rather than opioids. Here's what he had to say about it. My mindset has changed from somebody who looked down on it as a negative substance to saying, this has benefits. 3 years ago, state lawmakers passed a very narrow law allowing patients with severe epilepsy or their caregivers to legally possess CBD. That's the non-psychoactive oil derived from marijuana. However, Bedingfield, the same guy we just heard from, voted against that idea. So he's done a complete 180 on the issue. And again, it wasn't until he personally experienced some tragedy related to the matter.
Look, conservatives are super frustrating because they don't believe any problem exists until it happens to them or someone around them. Again, their vision of who matters is very limited. It's their immediate tribe. And to their immediate tribe, they're actually very good people. Everyone else is another and irrelevant and actually to be feared and usually acted upon against, right? So in this case, when it was other folks that were being targeted, and remember how the war on drugs began. Richard Nixon's aides admitted in the 1990s that they did the war on drugs because they wanted to target their political opponents, black people and liberal hippies. And so when it was those guys, Republicans in the South were like, yeah, that's right, war on drugs, got them. That's great, right? Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, the opiate addiction is hitting everyone. And there's a couple of consequences that flow from that. The major one is all this mass incarceration, which the Republicans in the past loved, is now affecting their own families. They're like, wait, you're locking up my son. No, you're supposed to lock up the other people, right? So all of a sudden, you've got some of the most right-wing people in the country talking about, we're locking up too many people, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's got a lot of costs. And these people are just sick. My son and daughter are just sick. They're not criminals. Did you guys know that these people are just sick? It's just a health issue?
No.
Yeah, that's what we've been saying for decades.
But more importantly, okay, so there's the incarceration numbers, and that's one side of it. The other side of it is the issue of the medicinal benefits of marijuana. And they completely reject and continuously reject the medicinal benefits of marijuana until they personally know someone in their family who needs it. Right? And so that's what happened with Representative Bedingfield. You know, he's like, oh man, you know, you can't overdose on marijuana and people do use it for pain management. It's safer than opioids. Maybe I should have legalized it. Okay? But here's the thing. If you're a lawmaker, you should be forced to use marijuana at least once. Okay? Just so you know. Okay? Like you have some joint pain. I don't know. You're up there in age. Like use some marijuana. See how it goes. Okay? And then you get to rule on whether or not it's medicinally beneficial. Look, I'm partially kidding about that. But I just think that lawmakers have an obligation to represent their constituents. And in order to do that, they need to look out for their best interest. In this case, they don't look out for the constituents' best interest. They look out for their own biases and their own best interests. And that's what really gets to me about this story.
Well, I never heard your proposal. I like your new proposal, yeah. Anna. And I already have a slogan for it. Mm-hmm. Joint pain, joint gain. Okay, so in this particular case, look, of course you always feel bad for him because his son died. That always breaks your heart.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be too harsh on him. I'm just saying as an overall principle, guys, you can afford to actually empathize with other human beings before it directly affects you. So I'm glad he's getting there. I'm glad a lot of the Republicans and the right wing guys are getting there. But this should have been obvious all along. And by the way, don't get me wrong, I'm not judging folks. When I was growing up, I believed the whole just say no stuff. I was a Republican back then. So if you're just realizing the benefits of marijuana, I hear you, brothers and sisters. I've been there too. So you're not a bad person for not knowing those benefits. But if you already do know them and you know that it's not harmful and you know that it was political in the first place and you still want it made illegal, well, then there is something wrong with you. Then I'm going to go ahead and criticize you.
And at this point, if you're ignorant about the benefits of marijuana, it's willful ignorance because the data's out there. It means that you are literally going out of your way to not educate yourself on what the realities are of this drug. By the way, so even though conservative lawmakers are now starting to fight to legalize marijuana in South Carolina for medicinal use, it's important to note that the people fighting against legalizing it include police departments in the state. So the idea still has strong opposition, chiefly from South Carolina's law enforcement agencies. In fact, Jared Bruder, director of the State Sheriff's Association, told the House panel that sheriffs can't support legalizing a drug that the federal government still puts in the same class as heroin and cocaine. So look, that's more about a financial incentive to continue criminalizing marijuana. We all know that. Okay, you legalize marijuana, then all of a sudden cops might have to do a harder job, which is going after violent criminals instead of nonviolent drug possessors.
It's easy to rack up a lot of arrests on people smoking pot. It's harder to actually go get people who are harming the community. And plus, they make a ton of money off that because they'll seize your assets. So you have to keep it real on what people's real motivations are. But if you are earnest as a Republican or a conservative and have come to this side, which now is, by the way, the majority of the country who wants to legalize marijuana, a significant majority, then great. I'm happy that the battle is joint.
That doesn't even work. Your joke failed.
Wrong. No, it was a nice joint effort and it worked.
No one laughed. Even Edwin, who seems to find you humorous time to time, didn't even laugh. So.
Okay. All right. We leave it to the American people to decide.
Okay.
All right. Not last story, but one more story here.
Okay. The FBI has compiled an extensive facial recognition database, and they've done so without your consent or without you even knowing that they've been doing it. Now, there's been a study that estimated that 30% of existing, I'm sorry, that is the wrong graphic. Now, according to data, about 80% of photos in the FBI's network are non-criminal entries, including pictures from driver's licenses and passports. Now, here's another thing to keep in mind. Unlike the collection of fingerprints and DNA, which is done following an arrest, photos of innocent civilians are being collected proactively. The FBI made arrangements with 18 different states to gain access to their databases of driver license photos. Now, this is all information that we've learned through a House Oversight Committee hearing on these facial recognition technologies. And so privacy advocates are concerned about it because there's been no regulation and no court precedent dealing with this matter. And all of these innocent Americans are basically being surveilled in this way without their knowledge.
It's pretty straightforward. It's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Big Brother is always watching, and now Big Brother even knows your face.
I know, it's crazy. Now, that's one part of it, like the lack of consent and how this could potentially qualify as an unreasonable search, right? However, there's another part. Facial recognition relies on algorithms, and sometimes that algorithm is faulty. The algorithms used to identify matches are inaccurate about 15% of the time and are more likely to misidentify black people than white people.
Even the algorithms say black folks.
No, but think about that for a second, okay? Just think about that for a second. So based on faulty facial recognition technology, identifying the wrong person, you could unwittingly be the subject of an investigation without your knowledge, right? The FBI could be investigating you because they relied on technology that's faulty. So that's a problem for everyone, especially when you consider how many faces they've compiled in this database.
All kidding aside, biases in algorithms is not a new idea. And it depends on who writes the algorithm. They will probably, and not meaning to, almost all the time, subconsciously, unwittingly write their own biases into the program. So, and it might be as simple as white people have trouble distinguishing between different black people. And black people, by the way, have some trouble distinguishing between white people. Mm-hmm. So if black people wrote all the algorithms, there is a chance that the computer would have trouble recognizing white faces.
Right.
So, but then that makes it more likely that an innocent black person is going to get involved in an investigation they shouldn't be in. But by the way, that's why we have it in the Constitution that you can't do unreasonable searches and seizures. And this is definitely unreasonable because you have no evidence that any of these people did anything wrong.
That's exactly right. These are completely innocent people. The FBI went out of its way to strike deals with 18 states just to get access to driver's license photos, right? So when you went in and updated your driver's license, chances are that that updated photo went straight to the FBI. That's scary stuff, but that's the country that we live in.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, guys. We do have one more segment for you. We'll be right back. All right, back at the Young Turks. I am Sock already likes your idea for the new rule and says, welcome to the House of Representatives. Here's your phone call for donors and your mandatory bag of weed.
Oh my God, everyone would want to be a representative.
So, there's nothing I could do, yeah. It's part of orientation. Mm-hmm. Had to smoke the weed.
Sorry.
Okay. Donors, speaking of donors, but these are small donors to our journalism campaign. $10 from Vicente in New Mexico, $50 from Roberto in New Hampshire, and $100 from Aletha in Wisconsin. Aletha, what a pretty name. I like that name. Okay. Oh, and don't forget Jordan's town hall tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern on Facebook.com/TheYoungTurks. That's from Flint, Michigan, and they're going to talk to residents and find out what progress they've made and how they view the water situation in Flint. Okay, what's next, Anna?
All right. We already know that Donald Trump doesn't take environmental issues seriously. However, his EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, recently appeared on ABC's This Week and talked about executive action Trump plans on taking when it comes to certain regulations pertaining to climate change. So according to him, to Scott Pruitt, he said the executive order to be signed tomorrow, Tuesday, will undo the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan, an environmental regulation that restricts greenhouse gas emissions at coal-fired power plants. Now, the reason why he is going to sign this executive action is because he believes it's a bad deal. Pruitt said on Sunday that the Paris Climate Accord was a bad deal because he said it went too easy on China and India, who, like the US, are among the world's leading producers of carbon dioxide. Okay, stop for a second. I get it. We need to be harder on China and India, right? But at the same time, we've been polluting the planet much longer than those countries. And so, just because China isn't taking enough action doesn't mean that we get to turn around and be like, well, we're not going to do anything either. It's the whole bad deal thing is a scapegoat. The reality is they don't want regulations when it comes to the environment. They don't like the regulations. They want big business to be able to do whatever they want, even if they're poisoning our planet.
So Pruitt's being disingenuous here, obviously. And why don't you just admit who you are? I mean, you've done it many times in the past. He doesn't believe that climate change is happening or that it's man-made. He's a Neanderthal. He doesn't believe in science. He thinks almost all the world scientists are either on some weird conspiracy where they're going to make a lot of money as professors. But the people who are running the oil companies who actually make billions of dollars, no, they're just doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. Like, this is the madness that Scott Pruitt believes because he's paid to believe it by the oil companies who funded campaigns for him. And we've covered this in the past when he was in Oklahoma. He led all these different movements to gather up oil company and energy money and give it to fellow Republicans, including himself. So you're corrupt. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You don't have to say you're corrupt, but you can just say, hey, I don't believe in climate change, so I'm going to kill the deal and we're not going to help. Instead, you're bothering to lie like, oh, you think China and India are not doing enough? You wish they were fighting climate change harder? Really? That doesn't match anything else you've ever said in the past. So even if you're a right winger, you know that Pruitt's full of crap.
Yeah, we're screwed. Like, we're screwed, and we just know during the Trump administration that combating climate change is not a priority. In fact, he's going to undo whatever progress we had during the Obama administration. And that's what we just have to deal with, I guess. I don't know what to say other than we need to resist. We need to gather as many people as possible to be active in the midterm elections and elect the right people to represent us.
They're going to literally send us back 4 years in time, and they're going to cost us 4 years of being able to do something to at least slow down climate change. And so I often say, look, it's about the system and it's not about the people involved. And that they react naturally to incentives and disincentives. And so, like, corporations aren't evil, that's silly. They're robots, they're amoral. There's nothing, they don't believe in morality, that's not a thing. They're literally programmed by us, according to the law, to maximize profit. So they are machines that are built to do that, right? But there are cases like Scott Pruitt where you go, no, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he's not part of the corporations. He's not an executive who's going to get fired if he doesn't maximize profit. And by the way, you could rightfully say that doesn't justify those executives either. They could do a different job, right? But in Pruitt's case, he's just an errand boy who his job, his role in this drama is, okay, Mr. Donors, how can I help you? Oh, you want me to, even though I'm supposed to be, my job is to protect the citizens. And in this case, for the whole country, to make sure that their environment is clean, clean air, clean water, etc., to protect them. That's his job. And he betrayed that trust in Oklahoma, and he's betraying that trust now nationwide with global impact because he wanted to be part of the corruption and he wanted to take more donor money. That's disgusting. And in his case, yeah, that means you're a bad guy. That means just to get a little ahead politically, you're willing to sacrifice everybody's health. I mean, I don't believe that he's actually that monumentally stupid that he thinks almost all of the world's scientists got together at Bilderberg or wherever and decided to launch a conspiracy that even though the climate change is not happening and temperatures are not rising, they're going to fake all of the data and somehow get all the other scientists to say, well, that data is true, right? About the temperature rise. They're going to do this crazy, but he doesn't believe any of that. He's just a guy who has no morality. So he thinks, no, you and your kids suffer. That's not my problem. I got a couple extra bucks from donors. And look, I got rewarded for that by being promoted to be the head of the EPA so I can kill the EPA so that I don't protect the citizens and the consumers, as is my job. Well, if you're betraying that trust, then yeah, I get to call you a bad guy. So Scott Pruitt helping to destroy the planet. That's the cold hard reality. All right, one last story for you guys.
All right. An accountancy firm known as PwC looked into jobs in the UK and how many of those jobs are at risk of automation being taken over by robots. So the study estimated that 30% of existing jobs in the UK were potentially at a high risk of automation compared with 38% in the United States, 35% in Germany, and 21% in Japan, which is kind of surprising. I feel like Japan would be like at the top of the list when it comes to automation. Like they're really smart with robot stuff.
I think they're saving most of their robots for other activities.
Right, which I think is really smart, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Too. Now, they write that the government should help by providing lower skill workers with more training in the next 10 to 20 years, the report said. So essentially, they're saying, and I think this is a really great point, a lot of these robots, the automation is going to impact jobs in, let's say, manufacturing, where you necessarily don't need like high skill employees, right? And so education is important. Training is education, something that this country continuously shits on because we think that it's not that important. We allow the right wing to make us think that having a college degree is something to look down on. No, we need education. We need to make it accessible to everyone. That way they can get the training necessary to evolve with an ever evolving market. Now, they specify which jobs are most at risk, and I think this is important. So at the top of the list, you have jobs like transportation and storage. 56% of those jobs are at high risk from automation, which is unsurprising. Like we're now moving toward self-driving cars and things like that. Also manufacturing at 46%, wholesale and retail trade at 44%, and administrative and support services at 37%, which again makes a lot of sense. Like you go to a retail store, you know, sometimes you can do self-checkout. A lot of people are shopping online, and that doesn't require as many employees. So these are all things to keep in mind. Jobs with lower risk include arts and entertainment, 22%.
Booyah, that's us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing because people are always like, your liberal arts degree, you're wasting your money. Well, I guess there's some value to it. Agriculture, forestry, and fishing, 19%. Human health and social work, 17%. And education, 9%.
I'm surprised agriculture is that low because you'd think they could automate a lot of the farming. And catching fish, you might be able to automate that as well. But anyway, good on you guys. You're apparently hard to replicate. That's great. Yeah. I'm amused that they're going to replace 22% of us in arts and entertainment with robots. Hello, welcome to the Young Turks. Boy, I am so steaming mad about what the Republicans did.
Well, don't we already have those robots working in mainstream media?
Oh, damn. News anchors, or perhaps news actors, just reading their scripts. Okay, so overall, some people are very cheery about this. I interviewed one of the founders of Wired magazine a while back at South By, last year actually. And he's like, no, it's going to lead to better jobs and will lead to higher education, more fruitful employment, maybe, and that might be down the road. And I'm a generally optimistic person, and great, I hope that's the case. But the problem is the interregnum, what happens in between. Mm-hmm. And so when a lot of people lose their jobs fairly quickly to this automation, and they have not yet had a chance to adjust, we could be hitting some real choppy waters. So yeah, the business interests might be psyched about this and they're gonna save money on it, but there's gonna be a lot of folks out of work. And if we hit a rough patch in the economy, in the global economy, and then you've got a lot of angry males, females too, of course, right? Mm-hmm. But angry males usually start wars. And they're displaced, they're frustrated, and they're all across the world. And there are politicians, as there are today, and it'll multiply, going around saying, oh, I'll tell you who's at fault. And they won't say the giant businesses. They'll say the other guys, the others, the others.
The Mexicans, you know, the Muslim refugees. They'll find something. They'll find some scapegoat that isn't the real reason for why you're losing your job.
And then watch out and brace for impact.
Yeah.
And then when they turn some of those robots into warfare, there's another layer of, oh no. Remember, we had that scene during the Obama administration where Chuck Hagel was looking at some robots that the Pentagon had built. He was the Secretary of Defense. And they're like, okay, the public part of this is over for the press. Now we will show Chuck Hagel behind the scenes what these robots can actually do. And you're like, oh boy. So that never got shared with us as to what the robots built for war could do. So, I mean, I'm happy that they're replacing soldiers and that the soldiers aren't going to die. I'm not happy about the destruction that they could wreak upon the planet. So I do believe that there is a wonderful future somewhere down the road, but getting there ain't going to be easy. Okay. We are out of time. The post game, of course, is for members. And there we will talk about an interaction that Anna had with Cuba Gooding Jr. A little bit of drums there. I will add further celebrity drums interactions involving, well, I guess sexual assault. That my ex-girlfriend experienced. Let's save it for the post game. TYTnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye.